This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents One Day My Soul Just Opened Up, Working Towards Spiritual Strength and Personal Growth. Written and read by Ianla Van Zandt.
At one point in my life, I really thought I had it all figured out. I was working in my dream career field. I had a decent home. I was in a solid relationship. My children were being normal teenagers. Then, one morning, I woke up miserable. Nothing in particular had happened. Well, actually it had. Sometime during the night when I was asleep, I decided to tell myself the truth. I hated my job. I was lonely living in a new city where I knew no one. I was dating a married man, and I felt like I had been a horrible mother, totally incapable of ever making up to my children for the years of insanity I had inflicted on them. The feelings of misery, confusion, and despair began to grow like an annoying fungus in my mind. My thinking was fuzzy. I was snapping at people. I had become progressively aggressive and competitive to the point of being combative. Each day, I would push myself to exhaustion so that no more truth could be, would be revealed to me when I was sleeping. I clung to the relationship believing that if it ended, I would surely lose my mind. It did, and I did. I lost that mind that had kept me in denial for the better part of my life. I lost the mind that was so full of distortions, half-truths, and the ideas of others that it fed my misery like a ravenous dog. I lost the mind that was angry at my mother, hated my father, resented my brother, wanted to control everything and everyone around me that could in any way hurt me. I was experiencing temporary insanity. I was lucky. There was one person in my life who immediately recognized my confusion, anger, and insanity. This very astute individual offered only one seemingly useless suggestion. Remain open. There is something bigger than you know going on here. Well, la-dee-da, what the heck was that supposed to mean? I made it through that experience. Things got better, and then they fell apart again. I changed careers, I changed partners, I cut my hair and lost 32 pounds. Things got better, and then they fell apart again. In the process, something wonderful happened. I picked up certain abilities, habits, and practices that led me to the realization that things never really fall apart. They simply change. Somehow, even when I felt as if I was about to lose my mind again, I could hold on to the notion that everything is always as it should be. If I was to be insane, I would just be insane. Perhaps I was sleeping when I came into the one realization that continues to sustain me. If you know who walks beside you, you can never be afraid. I wish I knew the exact moment and the exact time it happened because I would have had a party. I now believe it was in that instant that my soul opened up and the spirit of the divine entered my life. I have met hundreds of thousands of people I recognize from my own experiences to be utterly insane. It is not the kind of insanity that will get you tossed into the loony bin. It is a kind of insanity that keeps you in a struggle for control of your life and everyone in it. The kind of insanity that we are talking about here is a kind that keeps you pushing yourself, striving to do more, be better, and get ahead. Unfortunately, because you are insane, when you get ahead, when you are better, when you get more, it is still not enough. In creating the program set out here, it is my hope to offer support and guidance to those who are temporarily insane. Those who are wise enough or courageous enough to listen to this program before insanity sets in will be equipped to meet the tasks that lie ahead. Those who never want to be insane again may also benefit from this therapeutic approach. Time spent honoring things that really matter in life is the first step toward personal growth and spiritual strength. This program can be approached in many ways. You can listen to the entire program for an overview. Then you can listen daily and do the journaling and prayer work, or you can create whatever works for you. Your day-to-day journey will require a commitment of 30 minutes each day, 20 minutes for the morning exercise, and 10 minutes for the evening exercise. The only thing you will need besides this audiobook is a journal in which you will record what happens to you throughout the process. Each of the 40 principles covered is introduced with a working definition based on the spiritual or metaphysical definition of the word. It is offered so that everyone using this process will have a common understanding of the perspective being offered. After listening to the working definition of the principle, a musical bridge will take you into the commentary. Continue listening to the commentary on the principle of the day. You may want to listen to it more than once to allow anything new or anything you feel resistance to sink in. After listening to the commentary, open your journal and write down any thoughts you have about the principle. Also write down how you plan to work with the principle during the day. When you have finished reading and writing, that is a perfect time to say a silent prayer for yourself. The listening exercise combined with prayer are excellent ways to direct your intentions and focus your energy. Finally, you'll hear a series of statements called "Let Me Remember." These are ideas contained in the commentary that will help you remember the day's principle. It may be helpful to write the statements down on an index card and stick them in your purse or pocket. They are like a booster shot that will help you practice the principle throughout the day. If you decide to undertake the day-to-day program, the Let Me Remember statements end the principle of the day. Then, your evening process is relatively simple. Before retiring, listen to the commentary again. Mentally reviewing your day, remind yourself of the ways in which you were able to apply the principle and the ways in which you were not. Identify any evidence you discovered that the principle worked and the ways in which it seemed not to work. You are now ready to complete the evening journal. Write whatever comes up for you regarding the principle, how it did or did not apply to your experiences of the day, or what you are feeling at the moment. Through this writing process, the principle takes form and becomes a tangible element you can work with or work through. Once you complete the evening journal, you are finished with the principle. If you feel incomplete or that you need to continue working with a particular principle, go for it. Begin the process with the same principle when you awake the next day. If you feel complete, you are free to begin working with the next principle. Whether you listen to this audiobook in long form or day-to-day, keeping a journal, there is one precaution I will offer. You can expect your life to change a great deal as you begin to integrate these principles. Unfortunately, the change may not always look or feel very nice. That, too, is part of the process. Learning, understanding, or practicing spiritual disciplines will not spare you from any of the lessons you must grow through in your life. I encourage you to be patient with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Know that all things are working in your favor. If you take one step towards the light of Spirit, Spirit will take five steps on your behalf. One day, my soul just opened up, and things started happening, things I can't quite explain. I mean, I cried and cried like never before. I cried tears of 10,000 mothers. I couldn't even feel anything because I cried till I was numb. Phase 1. Honor the Divine. I can imagine that I'm not alone when I say I have spent the majority of my life being angry with God. The time that I did not spend being angry, I spent being totally confused. And when I wasn't confused, I was afraid. Growing up in the church as I did, I came to know God as an amorphous external entity. He was big, he was fierce, he was waiting for me to mess up so he could swoop down and get me. I now believe with all my heart that we are each a unique expression of the divine mind, living to fulfill a divine mission and purpose. As an expression of that one divine mind, there is nothing we need or need to know that is beyond our immediate recognition. What does it mean to believe in God? It means learning to honor your own inherent godliness or divinity. Even though I now know what it means to believe and accept the presence of the divine as an inherent part of my being, there are times when I slip back into my old fears, old beliefs, and old confusion. Today, however, I know how to get still, ask a question, and listen for the answer. Today, I know and always try to remember, right where I am, God is, and God believes in me. It is in these moments, when the intellectual mind becomes still, that the Spirit of God will reveal itself. Honor the divine with truth. Working definition. Truth is the absolute, that which reveals and is in accord with the will of the divine as the governing principle of life. Truth is eternal, the same today as yesterday. The fullness of truth related to the divine exists at the core of every living being. The basic principle of truth is that your mind is unified with divine mind eternally. As individual awareness expands and embraces the concept of divine truth, understanding unfolds. I had so many lies in my foundation. My mother, bless her heart, told me what she thought I needed to know to make it in life. It's hard out there. No one is going to give you anything. You've got to work for what you want in this life. Don't trust people. You've got to be better than everyone else. I'm sure my mother thought she was giving it to me straight, and I believed she was. Unfortunately, her instructions, integrated with my own perceptions, resulted in massive confusion. A friend, teaching me about the Baha'i faith, offered me some powerful words as a good starting point for the journey to uncovering truth. You must do your own independent investigation of truth. When you are courageous enough to examine and challenge those things that you have been taught to accept as truth, you cannot help but find the truth beneath their accepted meaning. My own independent investigation of truth eventually resulted in my ability to embrace certain ideas that were consistent. I call them truth postulates, and there are 9 of them. Postulate 1. God is life. God is spirit. God is mind. God is the only power that is in control of life, spirit, and mind. Postulate 2. God is within you and every living being. Postulate 3. We've got nothing but time, and it's on our side. Postulate 4. God does not punish us. We punish ourselves with guilt, shame, and fear when we choose not to act in concert with our inherently divine nature. Postulate 5. There is a divine order to everything in life. Postulate 6. Life is the unfolding of experiences designed to bring to our awareness the impersonal operation of the universal principles sometimes called natural laws. Postulate 7. God doesn't bless people. We receive the grace of the divine as abundance, peace, joy, well-being, and love as a function of what we think, feel, and believe about life, ourselves, and the divine. Postulate 8. Our lives are a reflection of our conscious and subconscious choices. And finally, Postulate 9. Everybody is born to fulfill a divine purpose, and God has given us everything we will ever need to fulfill that purpose. Let me remember. God is truth. Truth is divine. Truth is eternal and consistent. God is within every living thing, which means there is a divine and eternal truth beneath everything I see. Let me remember. The truth is that God loves me and believes in me. And for this, I am so grateful. Honor the divine with trust. Working definition. Trust is reliance upon the divine for all sustenance and supply. A mental and emotional recognition and acceptance that the presence of the divine as ultimate good is all-powerful and everywhere present. There is a big difference between trusting somebody and putting your trust in somebody. When you trust someone, you recognize them as a representative of divine energy. You see them in the highest light possible, knowing that no matter what they may do, it does not change who they are at the core of their being. You are not reliant on people. You have learned to rely on the divine presence within them. You know with them and for them that the eternal light of truth in their soul will shine forth eventually. When you put your trust in someone, it means that you expect them to do what they say they will do, which is usually something that you should be doing for yourself. Trusting in someone usually means that there is something they have that you believe you need, or something you have that you believe they can take away to cause you harm. You place your reliance on words or promised action rather than the divine. Trust is not something people must earn from us. Nor is it something we give to people who have proven themselves worthy. Trust is divine, a given, inherent in our soul. Every living being, as a manifestation of divine energy, is worthy of being trusted. Either you trust or you do not trust. Trust requires reliance upon divine wisdom to demonstrate itself as the actions we take. Trust the divine to provide for you everything you need to live fully, peacefully, and abundantly. This does not mean that people will always do the divine or right thing. But remember, you are not putting your trust in people. You are trusting that the divine will manifest through people. It does not mean that your car will not be stolen or your purse snatched. It does mean that you can trust that you will not be harmed and that whatever you lose will be replaced. Trust the divine to provide you with the wisdom to make the right decision under every circumstance you encounter. If you want to know what to do, you must ask quietly in your heart. Once you do, you will be guided. Rely on what your heart tells you is true. Do not be afraid to see the truth in the situation and act accordingly. Learning to recognize and interpret the signs and signals you will surely receive when you trust the divine will teach you to trust yourself. Let me remember. Trust of the divine is not the same as trust in people. Trust is the reliance on the divine to provide all things. Let me remember. Trust in self is trust in the divine. And for this, I am so grateful. Honor the divine with prayer. Working definition. Prayer is a form of communion. It is the method of communication between humans and the divine. An inward exploration undertaken to cleanse and perfect consciousness, an act of reaching in to the higher self. I have discovered that prayer is a very personal and intimate act. How you pray, when you pray, and why you pray is a direct reflection of your understanding of the divine and the role that understanding plays in your life. Prayer is the most highly effective spiritual act one can perform. Prayer, done as an active demonstration of your belief in the presence of God, accelerates the mental and emotional energy within your being. The language of prayer, whether it is done in supplication, asking for something, or affirmation, declaring that something is already done, helps to bring the mental, physical, and emotional bodies into alignment. These bodies, commonly referred to as mind, body, and spirit, ignite the energy of the divine when they are in alignment. While most of us believe this divine energy exists outside of us, the truth of the matter is it is within us. Prayer, therefore, brings us into alignment with what already exists within us and opens our mind to the revelation of this existence in the outer world. In other words, what we pray for, we already have, but in most cases, we are not aware of it. When we do not understand who we truly are, we generally miss the true meaning of prayer. If you must make a decision, call forth the divine. If you must resolve a conflict, call forth the divine. If you need healing, financial supply, strength, or wisdom, call forth the divine. Know that what you need already exists within you, and perhaps you simply are not aware of its existence around you. Call forth the divine within, not so that you can get something, rather so that you can realize something. Call forth the divine, not by begging or pleading, rather with trust that when you call, the divine will show up. Call forth the divine, not because you don't know what else to do, rather because you know what to do and need the spiritual strength to do it. Prayer is calling forth of the divine that results in your mind, body, and spirit being brought into alignment with exactly what you need in any given moment. Let me remember. Every prayer is answered according to divine will. Everything I need to know, I already know. Prayer brings me into alignment with my good. Let me remember. I trust that I will recognize the answer to my prayer when it shows up. And for this, I am so grateful. Honor the divine with meditation. Working definition. The principle we are working with today is stillness. It is accomplished through the act of meditation, which is stilling of the conscious mind to all external stimuli. A steady effort of the mind to know and hear the voice of God from within the being. The act of not doing in an attempt to expand the awareness of being. In the beginning, we are tiny little beings with no eyes, ears, noses, or mouths. This means we are quiet. We don't know whether we are black or white, male or female, rich or poor, attractive or not. In our do-nothing, know-nothing state, there is a power, a force of life in and around us that loves us even though the people around may be quite frantic. It is that force of life around us that helps us to grow. This forceful energy that has been with us and in us since our beginning is the spirit of the divine. Once we are born, we forget all about this divine energy of life that once put us together. The act of meditation is the best way to get plugged into the divine again. Go back to the beginning. Have no eyes, no ears, no voice. Know nothing. Do nothing. Be nothing. This is the best description of meditation I can offer. You must be able to allow yourself to float in a sea of darkness. This means you must learn to let go. Be still and know. Stillness is the key. Still the mind, still the body, still the need to be anything in order to get plugged in. Once you are plugged in, the power is activated. The energy begins to move. Anything you need to know, you will know. If there is anything you need to do, you will be instructed. You may see something, you may not. You may hear something, you may not. No matter what does or does not happen, you will know you have been activated, energized, and renewed. I do suggest that you begin all meditation with prayer. It has been said that prayer is when we talk to the divine and meditation is when we listen. If we begin by talking to the divine about what we would like to know, we will receive the appropriate response. Getting a response, however, must not be the goal. You must know that once the need is put forth in the form of prayer, the response will be forthcoming. It may not come today, but it will come. Let me remember. Meditation is not hard. Meditation is necessary. Everything I need or need to know is available to me in stillness. When I am still, the power of the divine is active. If I want to be activated, I must plug in. Let me remember, in stillness there is knowing. And for this, I am so grateful. Honor the divine with willingness. Working definition. Willingness is a state of mental and emotional receptivity. The will is the controlling and directive faculty of the mind that determines consciousness and character. Willingness is a state of consciousness that allows the mental faculty to be infused with the will of the divine. There have been times when I knew exactly what needed to be done to bring resolution in the midst of conflict, the end to an unbearable situation, clarity at a time of confusion and chaos. I knew what to do, but I was not always willing to do it. More often than not, I was afraid of the outcome. I was not willing or prepared to defend myself if I were challenged. I was in resistance. Resistance to doing what we know must be done is a derivative of fear. Fear, cleverly disguised as resistance, supports unwillingness. The more entrenched we become in resistance, the further we move away from a state of willingness. The divine does not remember our errors or calculate our perceived defeats, nor does the divine energy of life judge our methods or choices. The divine merely asks us to be willing to do whatever is necessary to move into our own state of divinity, which means that we must develop wisdom, judgment, and courage through willingness. Willingness does not mean that people will agree with you or that things will always go the way you think they should. On the other hand, willingness leads to cooperation. Cooperation demonstrates a willingness to move beyond your way of thinking. When even one person in a situation is willing and able to let go, tension is relieved. Divinely ordered thinking is an outgrowth of true willingness. When you are willing to give up your thoughts to divine mind, you receive divine guidance. As your divine nature unfolds, you become willing to do more than pray. You become willing to march in pursuit of those things that are in your best interest and the best interests of the world around you. Willingness is an active declaration that life is a divine game, but it's your move. When you move, you want to be able to make it through difficulties and challenges. Be willing to be wrong. Be willing to walk the extra mile. Be willing to fall down, get up, and fall again, knowing that divine counsel is only a moment of stillness away. Of all the spiritual principles that take us into moments of grace, willingness is the one that teaches us when we are willing to give up everything we have, the divine will replace it with 10 times more. Let me remember, thy will, not my will be done. I will to will thy will. The will of the divine is my salvation. Let me remember. To be willing is to be courageous. And for this, I am so grateful. Honor the divine with creativity. Working definition. Creativity is the invisible force behind all things seen, the innate ability of a living element to recreate itself, the spiritual faculty of potentiality, the ability of human beings to bring forth onto the physical, visible level that which is conceived at the mental level, consciously or unconsciously, and the emotional level. God couldn't do everything, so the divine passed along to its children the same creative ability God has. God actually could have done it all, but if that were the case, what would be left for you and me to do? Not very much. Instead, the divine infused us with the power to conceive, express, and enjoy the fruits of our creative power. We create through thought, word, and deed. Although few instructions accompany this ability, it is conceivable that we are each here to reveal the creative ideal of the divine. This not only translates into artistic creativity, it also refers to our ability to create a world environment that is reflective of divine ideals such as love, peace, abundance, joy, harmony, and power. Thought plus word plus action equals results. That is the creative process. The inherent power of creativity within human beings is never idle. When we are aware of the power, we use it constructively, like using fire to cook. When we are unaware of the power or doubt its existence, the same power becomes as destructive as an arsonist's tool. Every second of our lives, we are creating, individually and collectively. I am sure we can all find reasons, explanations, excuses outside of ourselves that rationally explain many of the challenges we face in life. Yet, as my spiritual growth and understanding evolve, I cannot evade the fact that I am made in the image and likeness of the divine. I am creative. I have said and done things in response to these perceptions that I must admit have adversely affected my children, my mate, my employees, the driver in front of or behind me. My energy ripples out like a stone dropped in a pond and impacts other people. It is true about me and it is true about you. It is also true that we have created a pretty ugly world. There is a simple correction process that puts our innate creativity to a much better use. Start each day by seeing it the way you would want it to be. See yourself handling every responsibility peacefully and effectively. Trust that even when the results you desire do not show up immediately, they will eventually show up. See yourself moving through the day with a smile on your face and joy in your heart. See the people around you responding to your peace and joy in kind. In those moments, when you are caught off guard, made angry or frightened, pray immediately for correction. Remember, you are a very creative force. Use your creativity to honor the divine by calling forth its energy in the places it is needed. It will not always be easy, but remember, the more damaging and destructive a person behaves, the greater is their cry for healing and correction. Only the divine can heal or correct. Using you as its device of creativity, the divine can transform any situation into a corrective healing experience. Be willing to be used as a creative instrument of divine healing and evolution. Let me remember. The divine formula of creativity is thought plus word plus deed equals results. My outer world is a creative reflection of my inner world. I can change my mind at any time. Let me remember. I have the power to consciously choose what I think. And for this, I am so grateful. Honor the divine with peacefulness. Working definition. Peace is an internal state of harmony and tranquility. Thought, word, and deed produced in response to a desire to create, promote, or maintain a state of peace. Why is it that we walk into a room of screaming children and yell at the top of our lungs, "Be quiet!" If you want peace, be peace. My grandson Olua, age 5, is afflicted with a common childhood ailment. He cannot speak below 100 decibels. He yells as if he secretly believes that everyone in the room is hard of hearing. One day, someone in the family, due to threats of being sued for slander, I cannot reveal who, became so frustrated with him they yelled, "Will you please be quiet?" Other people in the room chimed in by screaming, "Thank you, thank you." His silence lasted for about 3 minutes. His next comment was made at the usual ear-piercing level. If you want peace, be peaceful. Because I am the wise old granny, I have learned to take a completely different approach. When Olua screams at me, I crouch down to his level, put my nose directly against his nose, smile and whisper, "I can't hear you. You are talking too loud." He didn't get it at first, but I would stay there, staring him eyeball to eyeball until he lowered his voice. Now, when Olua approaches me, he usually whispers so softly I must ask him to repeat himself. He and everyone else in the family still seem to have a problem hearing one another. I watch them and I smile. If you want to experience peacefulness, you must begin from a posture of peace. One word of caution: be prepared to stay in that posture for as long as it takes. Let me remember. To have peace, I must be peaceful. I can choose peace in all situations. Nothing in the world can disturb the peace I create within. Let me remember, I welcome others to join me in peace. And for this, I am so grateful. Honor the divine with simplicity. Working definition: simplicity is the state of being simple, uncompounded or uncomplicated, clear, direct, existing in the most basic form, free of judgment or perception. Picture this, if you will. He's 46. I'm 44. He's got 7 children. I've got 3. His parents are divorced. His father remarried. My parents are deceased. He's got 2 ex-wives with whom he still maintains supportive relationships. I've got 3 best friends, one of whom is my daughter, and we want to have a wedding. Correction, a big wedding. Wait, there's more. It has to be an outdoor wedding, my idea, with a live band, his idea. No tent, too expensive. Near a hotel. All of the children, parents, best friends, exes, and all of the band members live out of town on the Saturday before Mother's Day. The astrologer would have to help us pick the date. This date would then have to be checked with the numerologist. The 2 ologists could not agree. After digesting the information, we picked what promised to be the best of the 2 dates. There was another event scheduled immediately after our wedding. We had 4 hours to complete the ceremony and the reception. An hour for the ceremony, an hour for pictures. That left 2 hours to dance, eat, and greet about 300 guests. The thought of it took my breath away. I was planning a wedding at the same time I was moving a business into a new building that mysteriously developed a leaking roof 3 days after we moved in. I was planning a wedding at the same time I was completing not one, but two different manuscripts. I was planning a wedding with a maid of honor and a matron of honor who lived in Alaska and Detroit, respectively. I really believe that there is something in the human psyche that abhors simplicity. There was a time in my life that unless there was a slight bit of drama going on, I became suspicious. I thought I was cured. Obviously, I was wrong. Life, however, always provides us with opportunities for self-correction. I am almost sure that my wedding production will do the trick. Let me remember. God simply loves me. Love is not complicated. Fear complicates all matters. Willingness and truth lead to simplicity. Let me remember, I can choose simplicity over complication. And for this, I am so grateful. One day my soul just opened up. I felt this overwhelming pride. What I was proud of, only God knows. Like the pride of 100,000 fathers basking in the glory of their newborn sons, I was grinning from ear to ear. Phase 2. Honor yourself. Where are we taught that it is okay to say what you feel when you feel it? Certainly, it is not when we are children. As children, we are taught what not to say and what not to do if or when it will make others uncomfortable. The others are big people. We are taught to take care of big people, the adults, those in authority. Don't talk when big people are talking. Don't express your ideas if they are different from the big people's ideas. Always accept what the big people offer you, even if you don't like it. In an insidious, although not malicious way, we are taught that the big people matter, and we don't. Even when we become big people ourselves, there are still those who are bigger, older, more important than we are. These are the people we must honor. In honoring the big people, we are taught to dishonor ourselves. The first way we learn to dishonor ourselves is by not telling the truth. The truth about what we feel, what we want, or what we think. When you lie to yourself about what you need, you will eventually lie to others about the same things. Lying to yourself and other people about what you need, want, like, or do not like is akin to having a bacterial fungus. It spreads quickly into all areas of your life and pollutes your very being. When you are polluted by the fungus of dishonor, it is difficult to speak up for yourself. The fungus seals your lips when people speak to you in inappropriate ways. The fungus clouds your brain when people behave towards you in an inappropriate manner. This lip-sealing, brain-clouding fungus always makes you doubt yourself. Honor yourself. It is really a great deal easier than we think. Honor yourself with awareness. Working definition. Awareness is intuitive knowledge, the ability to recognize and harness the spirit of truth in action. Knowledge or information void of emotional charge or judgment. A teacher once told me, if one person says you're a horse, you don't have to listen. If two people say you are a horse, you probably need to pay a bit more attention to what you are doing. If three people say you are a horse, more than likely you have hay hanging out of your mouth and a saddle on your back. In other words, people looking at you can see things that you may not be aware of. Very often, we are unwilling or unable to discuss with one another the unpleasant aspects of ourselves. Rather than discuss what we feel, we criticize one another. People always told me I looked angry. When they were not saying that I looked angry, they were saying that I was defensive and combative. Whenever these things were said to me, I would become offended and would go into a long tirade about people not knowing me, what I thought, or what I felt. I usually ended my little speech by saying how sick and tired I was of being criticized and that I was not an angry person, damn it. Life was trying to make me aware that I was acting like a horse, but I kept insisting that I was a kitten. Criticism, when offered in a way that invalidates you, will put you on the defensive. If, however, you are on the path to self-awareness and personal growth, criticism can provide you with very profound insights about yourself. Becoming aware of yourself and the impact you have on the world means being willing to listen, learning to accept, understand, and love yourself exactly as you are, coming from where you have been. The first step towards awareness is being willing to look at yourself and your life without judgment or self-criticism. Every experience, incident, and entanglement must be revisited and explored. It was James Baldwin who said, "You cannot fix what you will not face." The clue to successful awareness is that you only have to look and become aware. You do not have to fix. Once you are aware, you are empowered to choose what works and what does not work. Then, there is no longer a need to fear criticism. You realize that people are not trying to invalidate who you are or what you do. When folks point out unpleasant things about you of which you are already aware, rather than falling into the trap of anger, you can simply say, "Thank you for sharing. I know that about myself, and I am working on it." Let me remember. I cannot change what I am not willing to face. Awareness is the path to better choices. Self-awareness is the key to peace. Let me remember. Awareness opens the mind and heart to new possibilities. And for this, I am so grateful. Honor yourself with acceptance. Working definition. Acceptance is receiving without criticism or judgment. To embrace the fullness of a situation or experience. An inner realization that all is well, regardless of the outward expression. I knew my husband was sleeping around, but I could not, would not accept it. To accept, it meant I would have to do something about it, and I did not know what to do. I had no job and no money, so I couldn't leave him. I had three children who adored their father, and I would not deny them the pleasure of his company. On top of it all, I had a rip-roaring inferiority complex, and I was not going to give up my man to another woman. I would hunt her down and kill her. That would be the end of it. You do not have to like what is going on in your life, but you must accept that it, whatever it is going on. As long as you do not accept reality, you are powerless to define the role you will play. Failure to accept reality is a denial of your power to make conscious choice. When you do not choose, you live by default. Acceptance is simply recognition. When you recognize a thing, you see it for what it is. Acceptance is also an express ticket out of fear and anger. It takes you from where you are to where you want to be without stopping in every little hick town of negative emotion. Accepting a thing does not mean you approve of what is going on, nor does it mean that you are not being impacted by what is going on. Acceptance means you are able to withdraw the emotional attachment just long enough to really see what is happening. Without the emotional charge, you may even discover that what is happening has nothing to do with you. You see it, feel it, and may even know that something must be done. However, it is only from the emotionally detached posture of acceptance that you can make a wise choice. Acceptance is the essence of respect for oneself and others. When you accept the reality of your life, demonstrating your willingness to make a conscious choice, you honor the wisdom, strength, and tenacity of the divine spirit within you. When you accept the reality of the choices others have made, realizing, although you may not like what is going on, that you have the strength and the courage to live through it, you honor the right of others to choose without blaming them for your wounds. Acceptance requires a great deal of trust and even more patience. You must trust yourself enough to know that you will make the right choices. You must trust that the universe will provide you with every single thing you need in order to accomplish what you set out to do. You must accept that what you want to do may not be an easy task, which means you must be patient with yourself. Be patient when you get angry or afraid. Be patient when you are tempted to lie to yourself and not accept the truth. Patiently acknowledge and accept that what is not for you is not for you, no matter what you choose to tell yourself. Let me remember. Acceptance is a sign of courage. Acceptance of what is does not mean liking it as it is. Acceptance requires that I trust myself and the divine. Let me remember, acceptance requires that I be patient with myself, others, and the process of life. And for this, I am so grateful. Honor yourself with affirmation. Working definition. Affirmation is holding steadfast in mind or speaking aloud a statement of truth. A statement made to claim and appropriate that which is truth. Whatever you say to yourself today, let it be something good. Tell yourself you look nice or smell good. Identify your good features and compliment yourself. If you don't believe there is anything about you worth complimenting, repeat a compliment someone else has given you. You must make a habit of beginning each day by telling yourself nice things. Among all of the duties and responsibilities you must fulfill today, take a few moments to do something for yourself. Buy yourself a little gift. Offer a prayer for yourself. Hug yourself. Spend a few moments listening to your thoughts, repeating self-affirming thoughts or words, and weeding out the negative chatter that frequently races through the mind. You are worth 5 minutes 3 times a day. You are like a plant that needs watering to stay alive. Thinking good thoughts about yourself, speaking pleasant words to and for yourself are like watering a thirsty plant. The subconscious mind is so powerful. It keeps track of every word we have ever heard. People who have spoken to us in fear, in anger, or as a result of their own pain and ignorance, leave lasting impressions on our subconscious minds. These words become thoughts. The thoughts become weeds that have a stranglehold on our self-worth and self-esteem. Your self is divine. Your self is powerful. Your self can never be altered. This is the truth about you. No matter what you have heard or experienced, the truth remains the truth. Your job in life is to know the truth and to affirm it as often as possible. Let me remember. I am the light of the world. I am an instrument of the divine. The truth of who I am cannot be altered. Let me remember, the way I treat myself determines how others will treat me. And for this, I am so grateful. Honor yourself with choice. Working definition. Choice is the ability to recognize alternatives and possible consequences, thereby enabling the selection of that which is most desirable, admirable, and honorable. The ability to act in response to the recognized alternatives. It's not that we don't realize that we must make choices. For most of us, the problem is fear of making the wrong choice. In some cases, the failure to choose is fear of letting go of the old for the new, the familiar for the unfamiliar. This is the essence of choice, the ability to make our wishes known, to let go and stand on new and unfamiliar ground. What we do not realize is that choice is a divine teacher. For when we choose, we learn that nothing is ever put in our path without a reason. Choice teaches us how to listen and why we must obey. The consequences of our choices or our failure to choose teach us how to live in harmony with our self. That self is always guiding and protecting us. It is up to us to choose to listen to what the self is saying. It speaks to us as feelings. It speaks to us as the need to grow. When the pace of life or nervous habits force us to choose, we may not take time to listen within, weigh all the possible alternatives, and evaluate the consequences. Undoubtedly, these forced choices teach us what works and what does not work in our lives. On the other hand, clearly focused choices, grounded in self-awareness and trust, reveal to you the truth of your inner knowing. Your choices become your personal library of victory and success, or the need to spend more time honoring yourself. All choices, whether forced or focused, resistant or courageous, will take you to a level of understanding that will ultimately affect the way you view life. The willingness to make conscious choices is another way of demonstrating that you are ready to find new ways of living and being before you are forced to do it. When we consciously choose growth over stagnation and fear, the divine spirit of the universe will support our decision by bringing our lesson gently and lovingly. Consequently, when you choose to know the truth about your strength, your power, your ability to withstand the consequences of your choices, it is never as bad as you imagined it will be. Choice makes it easier because once you choose and see that things are getting a bit out of hand, or that you are in fact not ready, you have the ability, right, and power to make another choice. Let me remember, choice is my divine teacher. My choices are sustained by divine wisdom. Silence is a choice not to choose. Let me remember, conscious choice is the path to personal power. And for this, I am so grateful. Honor yourself with conservation. Working definition. Conservation is a state of mindful relaxation, preservation and protection of resources.